Thank you, Chris.
You're okay.
Thanks.
All right, it's good to be with you this morning. Larry is out of town, so you're stuck with me today. So hopefully, the plan today is to try to finish up Habit 2 and get into Habit 3. Maybe we'll see how far we get there. But listen, my observations of the class so far, just a lot to take in. And I know Stephen Covey is... a writer that we use at work a lot. We have class, in the business world, you hear a lot about Covey. But I think using some of these concepts and the way Larry has, looked at the Bible principles beside it and pulling those together has been very helpful for me. And I had this class 20 years ago. So maybe several times 20 years ago, over and over again. I think this topic and this book is one of the things that you can pick it up, 3 years later, and maybe something else means a little more to you, just like the Bible. As you pick up the Bible, different verses kind of stand out based on where we are in our life. So hopefully this study will be good to you. I was telling Larry, if we don't pick up the pace a little, we're not going to be highly effective. We'll be somewhat effective because we only have one habit covered. But we did get through the first habit, so... we're making some progress now. So I wanted to pick up with where we left off last class period. We're talking about beginning with the end in mind. And I think we all understand the importance of understanding. We've really highlighted how important it is to know where we're going and have a plan for where we want to be and then adjust as we go. And as we look at these habits, and we work through them, we've covered be proactive, and we understand really that is what's allowing us to look at ourselves, self-awareness, to improve things, to be that agent for change that we talked about. You can just listen to me describe it, Clayton. But I know you've read the book, so you're very familiar with all the concepts already, but be proactive. Also, begin with the end in mind. That's what we're going to kind of wrap up today. But first things first, and so we'll kind of build up through this. But really, that first habit of we want to be an agent for change for our family and make things better is really what's kind of driving this next thing. How are we going to get there? We had talked about these verses. I won't go through those. One thing we did look at as far as kind of the Bible connection with this is really, the Bible is all about understanding, where we're going, making decisions. We're going to talk today about putting first things first, what's the important thing that we need to do. But really, we looked at Luke 14, intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost. There's some planning that goes into it. If we're going to build something, we've got to know. Well, first of all, if one of the stories in the book was about having a blueprint. If you have a bunch of people that are building things and they don't really know what they're putting together, what is that going to look like? It's just it's not going to be a good finished product. We've got to have that blueprint. We've got to know where we're going so we can adjust and build properly. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Just the importance there of these things. And also, this idea of perseverance, that we've got to stick with it. We've got to keep checking where we are in our progress and keep working on it. So I want to kind of remind us, we're going to do just an exercise, a quick exercise in a minute. I know Larry had talked about, he said a couple of things. One is... maybe somebody would be willing to share their vision. But then we also said, well, don't rush your vision, or your mission statement. So I just want to make sure we got a start on this. I think it's very important. We'll talk about the importance of a mission statement and kind of remind you of that. But, the vision statement is about what I intend to become. The mission statement is what I intend to accomplish. And then we talked about these principles in the first habit. That's guiding us. So that's kind of our framework for creating this mission statement. And these were the steps that the book kind of walked through as far as putting that mission statement together. Explore what your family's about, and we had some questions that kind of helped us there. Write down your family mission statement, and then use it to stay on track. Most of these slides have a picture of a compass. We're using that mission statement as a compass to help us get where we want to go. And here's just a reminder of those different areas that are impacted by the principles that we talked about, the relationships that we have, our family, and how we raise our children. Just some very important concepts, and there's a lot that we have to deal with and be able to react to. So here are our questions that we kind of looked at as we thought about our mission statement for our family or our marriage. And we had some, I'll read through the questions here, but hopefully you looked at these. I think they were in the lesson. But being able to pick some of the big items to capture those, and really part of it was just getting, the buy-in from the rest of your family or your spouse that these are what's important to both of y'all, and being able to get that engagement in the things that you selected as your mission statement, and then putting it together into a concise mission statement. And a lot of times that's the hard part, right? Making it concise. One thing I didn't know is I was looking online at some of the examples of a mission statement, and there's a lot of businesses out there where they'll take your mission statement and put it on a board so you can hang it in your house somewhere. But some of these things were really big, and being able to take it down to a level that you can look at it and it's meaningful. There's enough detail that's meaningful, but it's also, that's something that will take you 5 minutes to read it as you walk by. So it's kind of tough, and it's something that you probably tweak as you go and continue to make changes as things in your family changes, but very important. And we looked at some examples of mission statements, and I'll pull those up. Here's some of them right here. These are some examples of mission statements. We had one, many of us know David Maxim, when he put together when he put this material. But, a lot of things to think about as a family and what your family mission is and what you want to be known for. A lot to think about and really talk to your family members about. So what I wanted to do is that I'm going to bring a couple examples back up. A couple Larry brought up. I found out. Added another one there. But what I'd like you to do is hopefully you've had a chance to think about it. Since we haven't covered put first things first, maybe you didn't have time to do it because of the party. But I know things get busy, so I wanted to kind of make sure we at least started something today. So I'd just like to take just a few minutes. And if you've already done it, great. You can talk to the person beside you if you haven't. Yeah, I'd like you to either look at the questions you had or look at this. I'd like you to at least put two or three items together. Jot some things down that will get you started on this. And really the goal is, like I said, it's not something that you can sit down for 10 minutes and knock the thing out, but I really want to kind of force us to think about it and put something down, and at least a couple lines, and you may go back and change it all next week, but at least you've got the thing started. And one of the things we're going to talk about in a few minutes with the next half is really the importance of writing things down. I appreciate that more, and after reading some studies about how important it is to kind of make things concrete and write them down, I think for this class it may be good just for us to take a few minutes and get these things down. So let's take 4 or 5 minutes, and if your spouse or besides you may want to work on it together, if you're on your own, then just jot some things down. You can use this as a guide, you can use the book or the lesson, but let's try to put 2 or 3 ideas down to begin your family mission statement or your marriage statement, and let's get started now. All right? Everybody understand? Okay, well, let's, I know that wasn't very much time to work on it if you haven't had a chance, but like I said, hopefully this is something that will at least get us started. And there's some good examples here, so I think, I think we can start with some of these things and then talk to our family. I think some of those questions about our, what our family is are important also. So, did someone have a chance to, already got something together that they would be willing to share? I know that's, like I said, some of these things can be very personal, but if you're going to hang in your house, you can,
So, we actually did this book with Larry Brown during our marital counseling.
Okay.
So, we had put ours together. Do you want just a couple, or do you want the whole thing?
Yeah. Let's go.
It's only 10.
Okay, well, that's good. Yeah, great.
We will always do our best to help each other reach our potential mentally, physically, and spiritually. We are Christians first, family second, and everything else third. We are always learning, always adventuring, always striving to improve our physical health. We are committed to loving each other when it's easy and when it's hard. We value openness and honesty, always expressing how we feel and not hiding anything from each other. Sometimes we take leaps of faith, but we are always prepared to take the consequences of the choices we make. We are quick to forgive each other and always willing to admit when we are wrong. We strive for excellence in all we do, but also believe that mistakes are lessons and not failures. We are committed to always having fun, to nurture joy in our relationship, and to remain each other's best friends. We want our house to be a place of comfort for family, friends, and whoever else comes through our door.
Wow. Who is it?
Abby and Scott.
You want to get to know them now, right?
Yeah.
Mission statement like that. That's great. How long have y'all been married now?
6 weeks.
I would love to have started. Wouldn't it be great to start your marriage with, maybe some of you already did, but to have some guidelines like that together. As you have children and be able to think about, using that idea of a compass again, of helping you stay on track. That's great. Great. Anybody else have one? Clayton, would you like to share yours? We'll give you a go. Anybody else have a couple sentences of one they put together that they'd like to share? Don't be shy. All right.
I like to go through and have something shorter, that, especially with my kids, that mm-hmm. I can just say, like, remember, we're going to, so love God, love each other, work hard, laugh often, and put others first. I feel like that kind of encompasses all. So, like, if they're not being kind, I can say that's not loving each other. Or, just something where I don't have to go into huge things.
Yeah, that's great, and I think that's where the buy-in from, talking to the kids about what the mission is and kind of, how do we tweak this and get them to say, yes, this is, what we're striving for is important, rather than just, some kind of random rule we throw up there. I kind of like the way this one, this third one here, how there's kind of an overview of what they're talking about, generous, responsible, appreciative. If you have kids and you're trying to kind of, there's a word you can put up there to help them, that may be a good way to do it also. I mean, understanding what that means is great, but just having a word there, just a quick reminder, is that appreciative? No, that's one you can use often with the kids, right? That's always a struggle to keep the kids grateful for what they have, realize the blessings that they have. I think that's really a challenge as you're trying to raise kids and trying to steer them from looking at what they don't have rather than what they do have. So, anyone else, Lauren? Hold on.
I just have a line that I wanted to mention.
Uh-huh.
That we came up with. We want to touch people with the love of God. I think, and then we said through hospitality, nurturing, loving, and warmth. I think what children must understand is if we want to be God's people, we have to show that to others. We can't just be insular. We're supposed to be lights in the city. And if we're not extending that, then we're not being the family that wants us to be.
others to hear from us. It's so easy, and we're going to talk about priorities in a little bit, but it's so easy to get off on track with some of these things, too. Things that are very important, and at the end of the week or the end of the month, we say, you know, I didn't really do that great. And if we don't have this in front of us, it makes it even tougher. So I think that's why this exercise is helpful, and will at least be there to try to keep us, you know, going in the right direction. All right, anyone else? Anything you want to share? All right, so my, I guess I would urge each of you to not go to the next habit. Get here and get a mission put together. It's going to take some time, and you got to think through it, but I think it's important for each other. So I would challenge each of us over the next couple of weeks or before this class is over to have a mission statement complete. And if you have kids and they're part of the equation, and you need to include them in the discussion, kind of follow that guideline, or however you want to do it. But come up with some ways to make these things stick and are concrete and help you get through a mission that will guide your family as you move through life. All right. Let's... So, Larry had in the lesson just some things to think about. If you're familiar with the Covey material... beginning with the end in mind, on the business, there's a business book that kind of led to the family. There's an exercise in there where you think about you're going into a building, and it's a funeral, and you look in the coffin, and you're in the coffin, and what are people saying? I guess a little more for the family discussion, but to really think about, what I want to be, what I want to be remembered for, what's important to me, is really the exercise there. And I thought, and you've probably heard that used before, but really thinking about it, that kind of takes some of the emotion out of some of the things that are things that we think is important now that, you know, at the end of our life it's not really that important, some of these things that we're so consumed with and worried about. What do we really, this is a way to kind of focus on, you know, what is really important? How do we want to be remembered? What do we want to, not just how we want to be remembered, what do we want to be known for now? I think it's a good way to kind of think through that. But really tying this back, it's a lot of words on this page, but, really... think of your relationships and identify a key person that could talk about this one he's talking about on your 80th birthday. How did you do in these? How you want to be remembered? So just a way to kind of think through this, and these will be on the slide. You can read them, but really helping think through the items of the mission and how the mission statement and really personally how we want to be known. You know, what would your kids say about you? What would your spouse say about you? Really focusing on that and trying to make some changes and improvements there. All right, so we talked about the importance of writing down a mission statement. I mentioned earlier about going that extra step and writing something down, what a difference it makes in actually accomplishing something. The first bullet there, you're 40% more likely to achieve your goals if you write them down. That's pretty astonishing to me that there's that big a difference for writing something down. What do you think that would be?
Held you accountable.
Yes, it's definitely, you put it down and it's there in front of you and it helps hold you accountable. Any other? Yes?
Memory.
Okay, great. keeps you in front. You see people that will post something on their refrigerator or on the mirror, keep it in front of them, right? So you remember it, you can look at it each day. You can get your day started reminding what's important. What are the reasons it's important to write something down?
It helps to focus on, instead of always looking at the big picture, you accomplish tasks one at a time, so if you think about things one at a time, more likely to achieve.
Very good. That's all hand back.
That was what I was going to say.
Oh, okay. I think something that kind of ties in with, we write down our mission statement is, in order to write something down, you just can't, you're not going to write 1,000 words that kind of ramble on and on. You have to think through it, right? It kind of causes you to put some structure or logic to your thoughts, and can help make them more actionable. I think that's part of it also. We can think a lot of thoughts about something, but actually making it concise and making it a real goal helps us achieve it. Any other reasons? Well, I got it up here already, so it makes it clear what we want to accomplish. And if we write them down, we have this discussion with the family. It promotes an agreement. One of the things that, at least in the business world, we're always working for is employee engagement. And in a family, you got to have family engagement in these things, or it's not going to be important. So I think that's another reason that we should write it down. And then just having it in front of us. We saw examples of people with the boards, or sign or something in the house, or you write it down. But keeping it as a reminder on campus is very important. Yes, sir.
I think it's important for all of us to remember that these tools are useful on an individual level too, which is how they're originally designed. Because maybe your family situation is such that you're not going to get agreement from everybody right now about what you hope the future will hold. And yet you can still use the tools for yourself and apply them and strive to accomplish those goals so that they do become the family's goals one day, if they're not that way today.
Very good. And if you have the book and you're reading, there's some, I think one of the good things about the book is there's some good examples of people that are dealing with very difficult situations. And a lot of, there's a story in there about family that was dealing with a daughter that had drug abuse. And, there wasn't a whole lot that the parents could do about that, other than what the example they were and the love they showed their daughter. So just really difficult situations that we have in life, and sometimes things are out of our control. All we can do is be an example, back to that idea of the circle of influence. Being the right example, being the right kind of person, and that example of the bamboo tree they keep asking about, that things are happening kind of that we can't see, and it takes a long time, that could have an impact. And at the end of the day, some of these things are out of our control, but we can do what we can be the best person that we can be. Is what we need to focus on. So rather than being helpless and being victims, we're doing what we can do to make the situation better. All right. I saw this quote. I thought this was interesting. There's a book called 10 Times Rule.
Who's that by?
It's by Grant Cardone. It's a real popular business book, but I thought one of his quotes here was pretty interesting. Thought if we applied this to our family goals, our spiritual goals, would this make a difference for us? But here's what he said. He said, I want to wake up to it. I want to go to sleep to it. I want to dream with it. I want to write my goals down before I go to sleep at night because they're important to me. They're valuable to me, and I get to wake up to them again tomorrow. And So I think that's, we're going to look at a verse in a few minutes about, you know, having God's law in front of us all the time and writing it. I think, you know, if we kind of took this attitude with the important things, we're going to talk about priorities, but having those things in front of us, you know, before we go to sleep or when we get up, would that make a difference in how focused we are and being able to kind of peel out the things that aren't important and focus on the things that are. I think that's, you know, something that might help us as we go through it. Any comments? All right. So let's get into the third habit. I'll put the first things first. The habit of integrity and execution. So to me, this is a challenging lesson. And I'd like to start with this. You may not be able to see this, so if you can, you have the lesson material. We got some extra lesson material somewhere in the room. I saw if somebody needs one, just raise your hand. But we got one. Hey, thank you. If you look through this list here, what would you say your least is, I guess, what would you say is the hardest for you to do on this list? If you look at these things, what do you think is the most difficult?
Say no.
Say no? All right. What else? Any others? All right. Well, they took 250,000 surveys based on this book, and the one habit that people said they had the most problems with is actually putting first things first. So, if you think about putting first things first, why is that so difficult?
Life's full of distractions.
You get that right. And it's something we have to deal with like every hour of the day, isn't it? I mean, maybe not here at, I guess our minds can wander and we could be thinking about other things, but every moment of the day, there's some kind of decisions that can be made. I guess if we're asleep, we're okay. Maybe we're dreaming about something that... that is not a priority, but this is really tough. I mean, I struggle with it. I mean, it's something, and it can change so quickly, right? You know, for a while you got things under control, seems to be great, and then suddenly something comes up, and you know, you've got time management problems, or you don't. You know, you're focused, and you get to the end of the week, and you say, "I didn't accomplish anything that I wanted to," and that's kind of the way. A lot of us can get in that cycle, and it's hard to get out of it. And I think about with kids. We had kids. It seems like Susan and I were always running to some kind of school activity or sports, or we were taking the kids to different Bible classes at different places. I mean, it's just there's just all kinds of activities that you've got to deal with, and working through your schedule and determining, you know, is this really what you know, getting back to that mission statement, is this really what we want to be focused on as a family? So, you know, it's a tough thing. And, you know, it's, there's all kinds of classes in the business world or in, you know, personal improvement around time management. This is just something that is difficult for people to get through. So, talked a little bit about why it's so difficult. And if we think about that mission statement, what we just said, how does that help us in putting first things first? How could you use your mission statement to help clear, you know, when you get to the end of the week, this is what, you know, this is what I should have been focused on.
I could use a business analogy again. It defines your strategy, and when you're going through your daily things or your planning, or you're trying to decide what you're going to focus your time on, you got to make sure that and focus on the things that are aligned with your strategy. That's what a business, your business does, and sort of
Very good. Any other thoughts about that statement?
I listen to a daily podcast, and one of the things that the person said is the mistake we make is we have priorities as opposed to a priority. And that when we put too many things at the top of that list, then it becomes overwhelming and we don't accomplish any of them. So the best thing that we can do is to take it day by day and say, what is today's top priority? And as long as we've got, you know, God, family, and life, then our priorities should be in order each day.
Very good.
You have to put God first in everything. And if you don't have God at the top of the list, you can't make decisions that are reasonable for eternal life.
Very good. I think a lot of these decisions are pretty clear that these are things that are not adding value. And I do think one of the interesting verses here, let's turn over to Luke 10 and read this verse. Read these verses together. Who will read Luke 10, 38 to 42? Clayton, you read it first.
Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." The Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're so worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her."
I think this is, we probably all looked at this story before, but is Martha doing something good? Something that's needed? Yes. But was that the most important thing? I think, that also is what helps, what causes some of the difficulties is, really not, I guess, the comparison of things that we're doing or the priority within those. Because, that changes also. I mean, there's serving people is important. But in this case, it wasn't the most important thing. So I guess, unfortunately, we're probably not trying to figure out whether serving someone or listening to Jesus is the most important thing. It's probably other things that are pulling our time away. But I think it's a good exercise to go look at what's important and what's necessary. In this case, it was important to serve Jesus, but the necessary thing was to be listening to him. Yes, ma'am.
Going back to thinking about the mission statement, it almost seems like an important part of the exercise could be, when we look at this, what's not on this list? Mm-hmm. And kind of actually verbalize that and say, these are things that either what we're already doing or what we want to do are by necessity, saying these other things are not the priorities. I don't know, that might change even the mission statement here.
Yeah.
As we're going through that process, might even change it a little bit. But I know when we sat down just to talk about it, right, there were certain things where I was like, okay, what do we actually do? Like, what do we do that shows who we are? And so we sat down and we kind of, like, one of the things that we came up with was, like, we eat together a lot. Like, that's really important to us. And I don't know that we've ever said, like, we're a family that eats together. I mean, we may now, but, we never did. But that shows that is a priority. And thus, other things, like crazy schedules, are, like, not important, or even, like, something that we kind of veer away from. But I don't know, just listening to this, it seems almost like if you can also clarify what's not a priority, that could be really give you some vision and clarify things to you.
Yeah, very good. Yes.
When I was a young mother, we had an older woman that taught us a class of us. Something that stuck with me, she always said, when you're thinking about what you need to do, in 100 years, will it matter? You know, if I have on my things to do list, clean the house, or, you know, wash the windows, and then somebody invites me for lunch, or I have an opportunity to do something, what's more important? Well, the time with that person is more important. And then 100 years, that could have made an impact in her life, and then, you know, it took advantage of her, to her family's life. But washing my windows was not important. You know,
I'm always forgetting how to wash in the windows. I know what you're saying.
It's a husband and a wife relationship. Is it really important to go there, or was it important that my kids are waiting for me to go?
We have pretty dirty windows.
Kind of to piggyback on what Lindsay was saying, an interesting exercise that I found personally is to take a mission statement like this. What is it that I'm trying to accomplish? What is it that I say I'm all about? And ask myself, how? Okay, if this is my objective, how am I going to accomplish it? And there are certain things that I'm going to do. Okay, how? If you ask the question again, how am I going to do those things? That might lead me to intentionally deciding that as a family we're going to eat together. That's a way of accomplishing my mission. What I tend to do is to pick out something that I want to do and then say, why? Well, why do I want to do this? It's really easy to deceive yourself into creating a path back to your mission when you really might be doing it just because it's what you want to do and it's not connected. It can be. You know, eating together can be something that I enjoy, and it can be a way of accomplishing my mission, but it may be something else. You know, I want to quit my job. I want to retire from my job. Well, why do I want to do that? You know, is that a way of accomplishing my mission, or is that just because I don't want to work anymore? You know, things like that. So I
more
to
opportunity
how.
To watch TV. Yes.
Yeah. But
so that would be a bad, yeah. You know. But yeah,
I've seen that in business when we wrote these things as an organization, and then we would go to meetings and spend a lot of time on things that were not at all connected to what we said our purpose was. And when you start asking questions, everybody, oh, well, we can do it because of this, and you can kind of contrive a Christian path back to your mission, but it's not really what it's about.
And that's how, for two different people or two different families, the exact same activity for one can be good, and for the other, it can be bad. It's about your heart, it's about your motivation, and that's the fallacy, you know. Why is it wrong? Show me where it's wrong. Is it really wrong that I do? Fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it is. Why are you doing it? That's exactly what Carl's saying. You might move somewhere else because you're pursuing money. Or you might move somewhere else because there's a church that needs you there. I mean, it can be the exact same thing, motivated by different priorities. Different why.
And sometimes, you know, these are difficult questions, you know, to work through. And we've got to look at our motivation, and I guess part of that is, you know, if we're talking through these items or these mission statements with our spouse or our family, that may help keep us in check as far as justifying things or trying to put things in there. But, you know, I think one of the things that back to our analogy on food. We had this, I've been kind of worked through this, and they have a plate there and say, you write everything you have to do, you know, what's on your plate, and what can you get off of it? So, you know, as you think about at the end of the week, wherever you spent your time, and how that aligns with your mission statement for your family, and, or for your, you know, you and your spouse. Where did you spend your time, and is that really what is necessary? Is it important, or is it just things that don't really matter that is eating our time up? I mean, like I said, it's so easy to get sidetracked and distracted with things, and we don't even, you know, where is the, you ever get to the end of the day, and where did the time go? I didn't accomplish anything on my list, or imagine a lifetime of being distracted, and at the end of our lives, you know, what I didn't I didn't accomplish what we needed to. I mean, something to think about. But
a valuable passage is 1 Corinthians 6:12 in this conversation here. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything.
Very good. And we see a lot of good things, or things that can be good or not wrong of themselves that have overtaken a person's life. And then, you know, if you look at their priorities, that looks like the most important thing for them. And unfortunately, a lot of times that involves our kids' activities, and they get the wrong message from it. You know, if it's, you know, 100% about some kind of sport or some kind of activity, and, you know, we're missing things that are necessary for the kids because, you know, they have some kind of activity to go to. It's just, you know, we're just reinforcing some wrong messages for sure. See?
You know, when Jesus explained the seeking first the kingdom of heaven, you know, he's talking about all those daily examples and people worried about that day's needs, as it were. And yet, you know, you look at, you know, Martha here, she's maybe on her to-do list, she's accomplished a lot. But Mary's doing something more important. It's not material, it's spiritual. And there's a balance. You know, sometimes my wife wants to tell me about a problem and I want to solve it. And she just wants me to listen. You know, and solving is a material thing. It's something you can check off the list. Sometimes listening is just more important.
Yes.
So, just another way to kind of state what we have up there. We have important on the left-hand side, serving Jesus, necessary, listening to Jesus. Maybe another way to think about that also is like the urgent, serving Jesus versus the important, listening to Jesus.
And that's, in the Covey time management, that's actually how to break urgent versus, you know, important isn't really the way he breaks it down, but you know, at the end of the day, there's all these urgent things that, if after your time, you know, it seems like we've got to deal with, and we didn't really get much time to talk about, but those ideas of putting the big rocks in first is so important. Yes, ma'am.
I also think it helps to look at our lives in terms of quantity versus quality. We like to have really long to-do lists. We like to say, oh, I was so busy this weekend, but empty busyness is not actually productivity. It's not actually